ялочка молода, циганочка молода. На циганку свою попитає,
на циганку свою попитає.
Стояла, думала, циганочка молода, стояла, думала, циганочка молода. Циганку, як я тебе ой,
ой, циганку, як я тебе ой. Стояла, думала, циганочка молода, стояла, думала, циганочка молода, циганочка молода.
In Alberta, that was UB from their first CD called Hardwood Harmonics and a song called Stojala Dumala, a band of gypsies. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос». Говорить Павліна Макварі. Дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there, and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Paulette Demchik-Макварі, your host, по-українськи, in Ukrainian, that's Павліна. And I am so glad that you're with me, whether you're tuning in on AM, FM, shortwave, online or in-flight, to the Vancouver broadcast, or to the International PCJ Radio Edition, or if you're time-shifting and catching a podcast, a very warm welcome to you, Vitayu. We have a great program lined up for you on Ukrainian Food Flair. Sylvia will join us with a very delicious recipe for chocolate honey cake. Vasil Pavlovsky is back with another cultural capsule, and he'll be talking about a Ukrainian-Canadian icon by the name of Petro Yasik. On Ukraine News Outlook, continuing gas talks between Ukraine and Russia, Ukrainian corn exports, and a ban on stray dog killings. And we'll also have an interview with Doreen Pingrass of Matlock, Manitoba, and she's the author of a book called Before You Say Yes, A Guide to the Pleasures and Pitfalls of Volunteer Boards. And we'll also have our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and more great Ukrainian music. So stay tuned. Coming up next, we've got Tuti Tam from their first CD and Lemko.
Radiocast.ca – це наша адреса в інтернеті. Українська радіопрограма з Ванкувера «Четверта хвиля».
Ukrainian programming The Fourth Wave from the Burnaby Mountain.
Ми виходимо на хвилі 91 FM в Ванкувері. Також ловіть наш потік через вебсайт cjsf.ca.
From Leeds, England, and that is from a CD that was made a few years back called Kultura. Actually, it was made in the early mid-1990s, and it's their third CD, and that was a song called Politika. And although it's the CD's a little dated, the sound, it really isn't. It's still sounding pretty contemporary, and also so is the message, quite contemporary. Probably always will be. It's about politicians and their perceived worth, I guess, to the general population. So I don't think that's a message that's going to be going out of style for any length of time. Again, that was the Ukrainians from their CD Kultura and Politika. Well, coming up next, something a little less political, a traditional Ukrainian folk song by Sonia from Nashville, Tennessee. And this is a classic, Byla mene mate, My Mother Spanked Me.
Byla mene mate, Том, щоб я не стояла, з молодим рекрутом, щоб я не стояла, з молодим рекрутом. Лай, 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 а я собі стояла.
Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. The abundance of honey in Ukraine inspired cooks to experiment with honey baking in the past when sugar was not known. Remember, all honey cakes and honey cookies require a few days to ripen so the flavors develop. In the following recipe for chocolate honey cake, a blend of honey and chocolate makes this cake rich, tender, moist, flavorful, and fine textured. You'll need the following ingredients. 3 ounces or squares of unsweetened chocolate, melted. 2/3 cup honey, liquid. 1 3/4 cup sifted cake flour. 1 teaspoon baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1/2 cup butter, 2/3 cup sugar, 1 teaspoon vanilla, 2 eggs, and 2/3 cup sour milk or buttermilk. Melt the chocolate, add the honey, and blend well. Cool to lukewarm. Sift the flour, baking powder, baking soda, and salt. Cream the butter and sugar until light and fluffy. Stir in the vanilla and beat eggs in 1 at a time. Blend in the chocolate honey mixture. Add in the flour alternately with the sour milk or buttermilk, a small amount at a time. Butter an 8x8 inch baking pan and bake at 350 degrees Fahrenheit for 20 minutes. lower the temperature to 325 degrees Fahrenheit to avoid burning, and bake another 20 minutes or until done when tested. You could serve this cake simply topped with a layer of raspberry preserves and sprinkled with chocolate shavings or topped with chocolate icing. Honey candles add a special touch and fragrance when I use this cake for birthdays or anniversary parties. Enjoy! It's Ukrainian.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. And coming up next from Winnipeg, the Female Beat showing off their musical flexibility. Here they are from their first CD, and the beat goes on with the Sweet Marie Tango. Listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Hello, I'm Vasily Pavlovsky, and this is Cultural Capsule, especially for Nash Holos. In the foothills of the Carpathian Mountains lies a small town called Verkhnye Sinovidnye. It was here that today's persona came into the world on July 7th, 1921, into the family of well-off villagers. He completed his elementary studies at the local village school, after which he became a machinist's assistant. Though like many other Ukrainians of Western Ukraine, by 1944 he found himself in Germany, but more particularly in Regensburg, the location of one of many displaced persons camps. It was in Regensburg where, after the Second World War, the Ukrainian Technical Economic Institute, which was previously located in Podjebrade, Czechoslovakia, had been given a go-ahead by the Americans to continue its function as an educational institute. And it was here where today's persona completed his education in economics in 1947. 2 years later, Petro Jacek arrived in Canada and established Prombank Invest Limited, a private land development and building company. Over the years came success, though Petro Jacek had a vision and a clear love of his culture and its history, and became one of the greatest philanthropists to fund Ukrainian studies programs in the West, particularly after the establishment of the Petro Jacek Education Foundation in 1986. In 1982, Petro Jacek contributed $47,000 to the chair of Ukrainian studies at the University of Toronto to acquire a unique collection of 175 periodical titles published in Western Ukraine from 1848 to 1918, which were microfilmed and became an integral part of the Robarts Library collection in 1983. In addition, Mr. Jacek's generous contributions have assisted many institutions of higher education, which include the University of Alberta, Harvard University, Columbia University, Lviv National University, and the Ukrainian Catholic University. Though he has also assisted in landmark publishing projects such as the Ukrainian Encyclopedia and Mykhailo Kruchevsky's monumental work, The History of Ukraine, Rus. Petro Jacek once wrote that Ukrainians, and I quote, must attain influential positions throughout the world, which is impossible without a proper education. We must also provide the world with objective information about Ukraine's past and present through the establishment of high-level scholarly programs in Ukrainian studies. This information will determine the world's attitude towards us. End of quote. Petro Jacek passed away at the age of 80 years old in Mississauga, Ontario, on November 1st, 2001, though his legacy lives on through the philanthropy which he started and the foundation which bears his name continues. I'm Vasid Pavlovsky, and this week's Cultural Capsule featured businessman and philanthropist Petro Jacek.
Україна моя, та ще й пісні. пісні співає Україна моя. Вірю, сонечко зійде знову, прийде весна, і садами розквітне Україна моя. І садами розквітне Україна моя. Бідні маю свій келих за щасливе життя, за тебе, рідна ненько, Україно моя, за тебе, рідна ненько, Україно моя.
Of a blast from the past, not too far past, but still seems like quite a while. It's an era ago. That is a duo called Spilka Dvokh, which means two singers. They are Ukrainian expats living in Israel, and they recorded the CD back in 2000, and I found them on the internet back in the day when the internet was very new and not very many people were on it, and it was easier to find people and come across really interesting people. I found this music and contacted them. They sent me their CD and then promptly disappeared. And unfortunately, I've completely lost contact with them. I was hoping to keep in touch with them and get more of their wonderful music. That song is from their CD that they sent me called Spilka Dvokh, Shlyakh do Yerusalame, The Path to Jerusalem is the name of the CD. That song was Ukraina Moya, Ukraine of Mine.
Ukrainian News Outlook. Coming up, gas deal to be ironed out, Ukrainian corn heads east, and ban on the killing of stray dogs. I'm Keith Parron. Earlier this week, the Interfax news agency, citing a source in the Ukrainian government, said the two sides had agreed on the new price of Russian gas supplies, but Russia quickly denied it. On Thursday, Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych said the deal had yet to be made and described the negotiation process as complicated. Moscow and Kiev signed a 10-year gas deal in 2009, but Kiev requested an early review of prices, prompting concerns that the conflict could prompt a gas cut supply to Ukraine, which handles the bulk of Russian gas on transit to Europe. Such disputes led to supply cuts to European customers in 2006 and 2009. Ukrainian officials have previously said they expect to conclude gas talks aimed at significantly reducing the price from the current level of about $400 per 1,000 cubic meters by mid-November. The Ukrainian government hopes a lower Russian gas price will allow it to cut its budget deficit without raising gas prices and heating prices for households, something the IMF has insisted should happen. This agreement on the issue has stalled talks on restarting a $15 billion lending program for Ukraine, and it hopes a new deal with Russia will strengthen its hand in talks with the fund. But it seems there is one aspect of the deal that both sides can agree on, and that's for Ukraine to pay for the gas from Russia in rubles, and not, as it has been doing, in U.S. dollars. Alexandra Malakolop has the details from Kiev.
Ukraine plans to pay for the Russian gas in rubles. Ukraine pays Russia some $1 billion a month for gas. The move aims to reduce the dollar's influence and would give Ukraine flexibility when paying for imports and would help prevent fluctuations on the currency market.
Ukraine can earn Russian rubles more easily. By simply increasing our export to Russia, we can easily get the ruble inflow.
There are two ideas of mobilizing rubles in Ukraine. The first is a rubles loan in the Russian bank, and the other is holding hryvnia ruble currency swaps.
The great amount of money is used to finance the energy resources import. Thus, the use of the ruble will take place, but the mechanism is not agreed yet.
However, Ukrainian energy experts say only Russia will benefit from payments for gas in rubles, while Ukraine will suffer from the weakening of hryvnia and deterioration of cooperation with the IMF and the EU. They say creating the ruble zone between the Commonwealth of Independent States is deeply rooted in politics and simply aims at linking Ukraine up to the Customs Union and Eurasian Union.
We are facing the trade deficit with Russia. To balance our ruble shortage, we will be forced to cooperate with other ruble zone states, which favor a ruble market development. This is a geopolitical magnet.
Experts admit this also may reduce demand for dollars, and the National Bank will convert Ukraine's gold and foreign currency reserves to the currency of the neighboring state. Regarding the fallen national currency, they say it is against the interests of Ukraine. While the choice of the currency to pay for the Russian gas has become finalized, Ukraine and Russia have not yet agreed on the gas price. Ukrainian Prime Minister has said that at the end of November, Ukrainian authorities plan to finalize talks with Russia and to make the first payout in rubles. Alexandra Molotkova, Kiev.
Ukraine has bowed to pressure from Western animal protection groups and called for an end to the killing of stray dogs before Euro 2012 football takes place in the country next summer. The environment minister said on Thursday that it was urging all Ukrainian mayors to build animal shelters instead. Thousands of stray dogs have been killed in Ukraine over the past year, often poisoned or injected with illegal substances in an effort to clear the streets before the championship takes place in June, outraging local and international animal protection groups. It remained unclear how the ban would be enforced. Ukraine has a large stray dog population numbering in tens of thousands in big cities, and building shelters to house the animals would take months. Japan bought 800,000 metric tons of corn from Ukraine after it removed a tax on exports last year. The purchase, made by five Japanese trading companies, was for shipments in November and March, at prices of $20 a ton cheaper than U.S. corn. The expected production of crops in Ukraine for 2011 will amount to 54 million tons. And with that look at some of the news headlines in Ukraine, I'm Keith Parron.
You're listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Joining me now on Skype is Manitoba author Doreen Pengress, who has just written and published a book called Before You Say Yes, A Guide to the Pleasures and Pitfalls of Volunteer Boards, and that was put out by Dundurn Press about a year ago. And the book, while it's not specifically Ukrainian-oriented, it is by a Ukrainian-Canadian author, and also it addresses a topic that many people in the Ukrainian community are involved in. Ukraine. It's very common for most people in the Ukrainian community who are active to be on one board or another. And in reading this book of Doreen's, there are many things that perhaps we don't always think about when we do accept the invitation to get on a board. So we've got Doreen with us now to tell us a little bit about her book and some of the topics that she covers. So thanks so much for joining us here, Doreen.
Thank you very much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk about volunteerism because, as you mentioned, it does affect so many people's lives. I think most of us have that spirit to help our communities in some way. And I know I learned about volunteerism from my father. He was a first-generation Ukrainian-Canadian, and he spent a lot of his efforts volunteering for his church. He was president of the church and president of different community groups, including the Knights of Columbus and whatnot. And I learned a lot of, from him about how important it is to help our community groups, because otherwise nobody else is going to do it. If you don't do it, no one else will. So that's kind of how I grew up. And I've been volunteering now for over 25 years for a lot of different organizations. And I put this book together after I finished a six-year term with Access Copyright, which is Canada's copyright licensing agency. And when I went off that board, I really felt a void, a personal void, because I had devoted so much of my time and efforts to that board that all of a sudden I felt like, wow, what am I going to do now? And I thought, you know what, I should write a book about this because no one ever has done that in Canada. And I was fortunate to find a publisher who was interested in it. And so the book is really just a guide on how to deal with different problems or situations you may encounter while you're serving on a board. And that's why it's called A Guide to the Pleasures and Pitfalls of Volunteer Boards, because we look at the positive and the negative.
Mm-hmm. You take a really professional approach to it. There are a lot of issues that you deal with that people in the corporate world have to be aware of, legalities and protocols and things like that, especially when you've got hands-on directors.
Yes, well, actually, whether it's a really small board or a larger board, they should operate under the Robert's Rules of Order, where they use a certain protocol to have efficient and well-organized meetings. And that means having a minute taker, and that means having, you know, formal minutes and motions to conduct the business of the board. And I think that if small groups adopt those same practices, they can operate much more efficiently and effectively. In other words, get business done a lot faster than stumbling around without an agenda or without formal minutes to keep track of what's being done from meeting to meeting.
Yeah, and that's one of the largest complaints, I think, is that, you know, a meeting is called for an hour and it's 3 hours have gone by, and, you know, you've got to item 2 of 20 on the agenda and you have to table the rest because, you know, there's just been all this discussion, which, you know, is probably interesting and valid points are raised and so forth, but they're really off topic.
Yes, well, it's up to the chair of, you know, any board to really run the meeting efficiently. And so when you attend a meeting such as that, you know, if you're not the chair and you're finding that the chair is not operating the meeting effectively or efficiently, the key is to remind them that we should introduce Robert's Rules of Order to our organization, because that is how boards should be operated. And that applies whether it's a sports team or a school board or a professional organization or a fundraising group. Everyone should operate by those rules. Even the little, you know, community club by my house here, I was on that board for a couple of years, and we used Robert's Rules of Order to try and keep our meetings running efficiently, because I'm a busy person. I don't want to be sitting there listening to someone harp on about something for an hour. Each item of discussion should be given a certain number of minutes on the agenda, and that agenda should be followed so that everyone that's participating in the discussion knows how long is to be allotted for each topic.
Mm-hmm. One of the other neat things that I notice that you bring up is human interaction and how you can politely be insistent to get people back on track and deal with personality conflicts on boards as well.
Yes, I think one of the most disruptive things to any board is having an egotistical person on that board. And I do talk about that in my book. I think I call it Leave Your Hat at the Door, because you want to make sure that you're coming into that meeting without any prejudices and without any allegiances to another group that may interfere with the operations of the group that you are currently serving. So it's really important to realize that you're there to serve the association or organization and not to further your own personal goals or your own beliefs. You know, I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with, you know, and they, especially if they have big egos, they think, oh, this is an opportunity for me to accomplish my goals and raise my profile. And yes, your volunteer activity should provide some positive impact on your own personal life or situation, but that shouldn't be the primary reason for you being involved.
Absolutely. Now, I noticed in your book that you draw on your own personal anecdotes as well as anecdotes of people that you have worked with on boards. Just give us an idea of some of the organizations that you have worked with in what capacity. Over the years.
Well, you know, as I say, I kind of grew up in a house where volunteering was very important. And I believe my grandfather also was very involved in the community. So it's something that's been in our family for generations. And so I began volunteering, as soon as I got out of university and I started my first job, I was already volunteering for the United Way and then the Alzheimer's Society. So I started with charitable organizations. And then as I was working in Manitoba Public Insurance for years, I served on the union committee there, the Manitoba Government Employees Union, and I was involved with that organization for many years, and I've been on the professional organizations for my writers associations. Like, I'm now currently the national vice president of the Professional Writers Association of Canada, and I've been on the board of the Manitoba Women Business Owners and the International Association of Business Communicators and many, many groups. I am the type of person that if I am passionate about a subject, I'll belong to the organization that represents that subject, and then I usually end up joining the board and actually trying to accomplish something to further the organization. So I am a doer. There's no doubt about that.
And just like most people that serve on boards and many people listening to the program now who are involved on one board or another, one committee or another, because that's what you do on a board is that's the whole reason for joining is you want to get something done and you want to create something for the greater good and for the community and for your fellow community members.
That's exactly right. And I think it's also a huge professional development or personal development tool. Also, like, volunteering can open so many doors for individuals because it often gives you the opportunity to try different things or learn different things that you wouldn't otherwise encounter. And I thank so much my years with the Manitoba Government Employees Union and Manitoba Public Insurance and other organizations where and of course Access Copyright was huge for me. I learned so much about the law and about copyright law and about how leadership is developed. I'm very involved with Toastmasters International, and through Toastmasters I've learned so much about leadership so I've helped the organization, but in turn it's helped me hugely.
And I think a lot of people look at volunteerism as saying it's unpaid work, but when you think about what you learn, it's actually free tuition, isn't it?
It is. That's right. You know, I think if people think of it that way as a learning tool, they're giving of themselves, yes, but they're getting back so much more than they give, and it enriches your life in so very many ways. I think I'm just a born volunteer, and I'll probably be volunteering into my 80s if I'm able to. You know.
Well, there's so much in your book, Doreen, for people from starting out talking about interviewing and screening boards and making a decision, not just because nobody else is going to do it, but is this a good fit for me and the board? And to make your experience as a board member a pleasure for yourself and for the people that you serve with. So this is a really fabulous book. It's not a large book. It's an easy book to read. It's like talking to you, Doreen. Read this book and it echoes some of our conversations over the phone. So for listeners who are on boards or thinking of being on board, or anybody who's involved in volunteerism, or if you know somebody, it's a great Christmas gift, get this book. It's not expensive. It is how much, Doreen, and how do you get it?
Well, it's under $20. It sells for $19.99 at the list price, but often, different bookstores may have it on special. But if you go to my website, which is wizardofwords.net, you can take a live link right to my publisher's website where you can order the book. You can also get it, you know, at Chapters and at McNally Robinson Booksellers in Canada. In the States, you can get it through Barnes & Noble. You can get it on Amazon. And there's also an ebook version, which is selling for under $8. So it's really accessible to people. And I did write it in a conversational tone so that anyone can read it, understand it, learn from it, and put it into practice easily. You know, it'll fit into any kind of group. So you're right. It makes an excellent Christmas gift. And I appreciate you mentioning that.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us, Doreen, about your book. And I'll just mention that we met on Twitter. And you're great in social media. So if anybody else is in social media, Doreen's got some very interesting posts. The other things that she does besides write books on volunteerism is just amazing. So she's just a delight to follow on her blog, on Facebook and Twitter. So I certainly would recommend anybody who's looking for someone interesting to follow to definitely follow Doreen. So how do we do that, Doreen? How do we contact you that way?
Well, thanks, Paulette. I've really enjoyed getting to know you also through social media. And as I mentioned, my website is wizardofwords.net. And if people go to my website, they can link up with me on Twitter, on LinkedIn. I have two blogs. I have a writer's blog, which I talk about lifestyle issues and things on. But I also have a chocolate travel blog compiling research on, because my next book is going to be on chocolate and travels.
And you never know what kind of organizations related to chocolate there might be out there that people can volunteer for.
I think chocolate is the universal language. Everybody loves chocolate. And if they don't love chocolate, they live with a chocolate lover.
Thank you again, Doreen, for joining us and telling us about your book. Once more, the book is called Before You Say Yes, A Guide to the Pleasures and Pitfalls of Volunteer Boards. And you can get it on from major booksellers, or visit Doreen at her blog, which is wizardofwords.net.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks again, Doreen. It's been a pleasure, and hope to talk to you soon. Good luck with your next book.
Thanks a lot, Paulette.
From Volyn, Ukraine, from a CD called Smutny Vachir, Smutny Ranok, and that is sad, evening, sad morning. I don't know if sad is necessarily the right word. Sort of melancholy maybe is a better sentiment, although things always lose in the translation sometimes, and certainly in this case. This is an incredible CD. It was recorded back in 2007, around the time Volin came to Canada, to Eastern Canada, and hopefully they'll be back and maybe make their way out here to the West Coast. In the meantime, we have this wonderful CD and an early one they recorded, and the song you just heard from this one, Smutne Vachur, Smutne Ranok, was Marusiu Marusiu, a song about a girl named Marusia. For the very best in Ukrainian music and programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. AM 1320 on the radio dial in Vancouver and online at am1320.com. In Nanaimo on the PCJ Network, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on 101.7 FM or online at chly.ca. Elsewhere, Nash Holos airs on AM, FM, and shortwave radio on the PCJ Radio Network in over 28 countries. And podcasts are available at nashholos.com as well as at pcjmedia.com and on iTunes. And don't forget to follow Keith and myself on Facebook and Twitter. Нажами вже скінчила нашу програму, що час додому і сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Кажуть, що правда, десь аж на дні моря мусить своє місце мати, тому так трудно її нам дістати.
And our proverb of the week translates as, they say truth must live at the bottom of the sea, that's why it's so hard to find.
Well, that just about wraps up another show here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To take us to the end of our program, we have Romko from a CD called Alberta's Finest Ukrainian Artists, and he'll be wrapping it up with Canada's National Ukrainian Kolomeika. I'm Paulette Demchik-Macquarie. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, до побачення.